Listen, I've been asked to share tonight how God has led us out of the secular world into the full-time ministry. I need to go back 20 years, and that might date me, but that's okay. I'm not ashamed of my age. Good grief, you know. We learn as we grow, as we get older. Okay, never did I realize 20 years ago what a tremendous privilege that I would have today or sometime being with the Navigator staff. The blessing that God will allow us to have in co-laboring with a gang like you all. And never once since we've been with the Navigators for almost a little over 7 years have I doubted that this was what God would have for our lives. That he would privilege Lena and I and count us. My wife's name is Lena. We have 8 children. And 3 of them are married now, so we have 3 grandchildren, the 4th one on the way. And that's really exciting, y'all. Yeah. Twofold, spiritual and physical multiplication there. Okay, now when God called us out of the, I used to be in the dairy business, let's put it that way. Born and raised on the dairy farm, on a dairy, and born and raised in a good Christian home. But it was strong Calvinistic type of mentality. But it wasn't until I was about 23 years old that Jesus Christ became a reality to me. For many years, I was hiding behind the doctrine of predestination. Some of you know what I'm talking about. God saved me. I'm an elect. Don't have to worry about accepting Christ personally. Well, I'll skip over that part. I want to get to the part where I was exposed into the ministry. And 20 years ago, I met a fellow, and I'd known Jesus Christ about 5 years by this time personally. And in 1958, I met a fellow whose name was Walt Hendrickson. That is very interesting. My exposure, first of all, to the Christian life was activity. And I thought I was saved to serve. I was involved in all kinds of activities in the local church, in our Reformed church and so forth. And one summer, Walt was going to the Christian school there, and I got acquainted with him. He was teaching at a Christian school or similar to that, something like that. Now, I think it's prior to that. He was still living in Pasadena. And he was teaching, but anyway, I got involved with him. And one particular summer, he was assigned to be my assistant in the athletic programs at a camp that we had. And I put him in the archery department. And little did I know, Walt began to ask me, John, how's your walk with the Lord? I said, well, I do this, and I do this, and I do that. Well, how's your personal time with the Lord, Jesus? And it wasn't long for me to realize what Walt was talking about. That was my first exposure to the quiet time, scripture memory, Bible studying, etc. Now, I want you to know that when God called us into the ministry, he never did I merely changed vocations, but I never had a change of heart. God began the work of disciple making in our lives years before we ever went with the Navigators. So Walt developed a relationship with me during the next 7 or 8 years, and it was exciting years being involved in the dairy business there. He'd come around and put my boots on. Well, I had an extra pair of boots for Walt, so Levi's and everything. And you know Walt Hendrickson, that's quite a deal for him. But listen, gang, it won my heart. That's what it did. Lots of personal time with me. He did this with me. He went out with me here and there and everywhere. He really won my heart. And I saw something unique in his life which I wanted. And it wasn't long till it was caught rather than taught. He didn't spend that much time with me, but once a week or twice a week he'd come over. And it was fantastic times. Then in 1959, when my father passed away, I took over the dairy business. And that was in about 61, I took over the dairy business in Artesia. And I'm sharing these incidents with you to show how God began to lead. God leads in mysterious ways, but he knows what he's doing. That's why I say today, if I'd look back, I would never realize what he was doing in those days. But back in 61, I took over the dairy business. We were at the particular place there in Artesia for about 2 years, moved to Buena Park. And whenever you move a herd of cows, it's not as simple as you may think it is. I mean, you lose production, you lose everything. And we moved to Buena Park. We lived there for about 3 years. All this time, Walt still had contact with us, and Skip and Buzzy Gray were in Pasadena. They helped and involved in the ministry on our lives along this line, too. And I'll never forget, we were coming up to Pasadena, going to a Bible study there, and one of these days I took Lena with me. And show you how naive we can get sometime. And Buzzy took Lena upstairs, and she asked Lena how her scripture memory was and so forth. And she says, I never knew that. She says, scripture memory is only for men, isn't it? She says, all the time she was very jealous that I had my little packet. I was learning verses, and never once did I think, well, she ought to be memorizing too, you know. She was raising kids, so why should she? Okay. But anyway, that was her exposure. It was my time. So we lived in Buena Park for about 3 years, had some fantastic times there. God was at work. We lived there 3 years, and then we moved to another area called Rancho, California, which is halfway between Riverside and Escondido. And some of you are familiar with that area, some of you are not. But this was really a traumatic experience for us. By this time, Walt had moved, Skipper had moved out of the area. I think you'd gone to Costa Rica, things like this. But people began to leave, but so we were kind of left to ourselves. And one thing Walt challenged us, he says, John, when I leave, he says, don't you ever lose contact with the navigators. Whatever you do, he says, no matter whether there's a rally, if you have to drive 60, 70 miles, still go to the rallies or to the meetings. And we did this by the grace of God, and we kept contact all the time. By this time, Elvin and Joyce Smith were moving into Pasadena. So we maintained contact all the time, and I think that's a key from where my perspective. If I've been in a business world, you may not be able to recruit a businessman to the ministry, but you sure can keep him in contact with the navigators and with the concepts of the ministry. It was more caught than taught to me. And I saw it, and boy, I wanted this. Anyway, we moved to Buena Park, and we lived there 4 years. And that was really quite an experience because we had a God began to move us geographically before we could make this big move to Texas, where we moved to a small community. Now, we come from a Dutch family. Our family was very close. Rancho, California is not too far away, about 70 miles. But my kids were taken out of the Christian school, and we had 8 children by then, taken out of the Christian school and moved into a little school of about 140, 50 people. And half of these kids in the school were Indians. And right close to where I had my dairy, there was a Pechanga Indian reservation. I remember more than one time I've sold my calves to the chief, you know, but that's another story. But what it was doing, God was moving us geographically from family ties. He began to move us around. While we went through a trying experience, well, we need to back up. While we were living there, every time Walt and Liette would come through or Skip and Buzzy would come through, they'd drop in on us. You know what they were doing, you know. John, still praying about selling a farm? Come on down. And we had some good times. I remember one time we went to, I was shipping milk to a carnation. And any time a carnation producer wants to go to Disneyland, you get the red carpet treatment. So I applied for X amount of tickets for all of Skipper's, Skip and Buzz and their kids, and Walt Liette and their kids, and all of my kids. There was about 20 of us more. And we went to Disneyland and had a fantastic ball the whole day. And we had the red carpet treatment to the ice cream factory. If you know Walt, he loves ice cream. We no sooner got through the gate, let's hit the ice cream parlor. Okay, red carpet treatment. They actually rolled out the red carpet for us. It got kind of embarrassing about halfway through the day. We've hit that place about 4 or 5 times. And every time they rolled the red carpet out for us, you know, it really was embarrassing because they'd have to move people out in order to seat us. You know, red carpet treatment. So. But it was this tie that really was developed during those days. And I've applied that same thing in our ministry today. We keep contact with business people and just keep in contact. Just develop what's God doing? Keep the stethoscope to their heart. What is God doing? Is he still doing the work of discipleship in their heart? You bet he is. And it may take years before you see a real cut or a breaking away from the actual business world. But God was still at work. And then we went through a traumatic experience. Financially, I would say, well, not too much financially, but emotionally and physically, because in 1970, Rancho, California approached us. Now, we were the first dairy there. We had a model dairy, and there was quite a story on that. But anyway, they came back and said, John, we would like to buy the place back from you. I said, okay, that's no problem. You know, if you want to buy it back, we'll move to Idaho. I was already looking for places in Idaho and Oregon where I could relocate my dairy. Because the land was much cheaper, the taxes was cheaper, plenty of water, a lot of problems during in Southern California. But God was at work again. He was continuing to work. So what happened on November the 1st of 1970, they said, John, we will buy your place. Let's draw up some papers and all these things. I said, okay, you go ahead and get them signed and draw them up. In the meantime, I found a buyer for my cows. Now, if you understand the dairy business in Southern California, you have what we call shipping right. Every cow has a pound and a half shipping right, and you transfer your shipping right prior to the sale of your cows. Well, I applied to Sacramento for a change in shipping right. Now, this is probably foreign to some of you, but I applied for a transfer and a shipping right. And so prior to November the 15th, I transferred my shipping right. Then November the 14th, rancher comes back, and we decided not to buy your place. I said, good grief, you know what you guys have done? You've put me out of business. I couldn't apply for my shipping right because it was gone. I transferred already to the dairyman who said he was going to buy my cattle. So that put me out of business, just like that. And I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach us now? Well, you know, Lord has ways of getting your attention. So for another month, the whole transfer, the guy was very fortunate. He moved, very fortunate the Lord worked that way because he moved into my place. So he needed a place. I leased it to him. And anyway, that was about then in December of 1970, about January of 1971, I was counseling. Waltley had asked Lena and I to come on up to see them in Fort Worth. I said to my sweetheart, I said, you know what he's going to ask us. No excuse for not coming on up now. You know, there's no excuses. All the strings have been totally unattached. You know. But then we just found out that little Walter had leukemia. And I says, oh, we can't bother him. We shouldn't go over there. And Elvin and Joyce, they suggested to Leonard, listen, you guys are pretty close. Why don't you go see Walt Leonard anyway? And well, that was a year, that month really committed. We drove from California all the way across from through El Paso across to Fort Worth. I've never seen such desolate country in my life in January. I'd never been there before. It was black. Everything looked like it had been burnt down because of the change in the season. You know, just it was a terrible country. But anyway, I'll never forget that particular January. We made a commitment to follow the Lord full time in full time ministry in the office, Walt's office in Fort Worth. I still remember it. And he said, now let me tell you something, John. He wanted to be sure it was of the Lord. He says, after I'd made my commitment, he asked me to come up. He says, now we're going to leave. We're going to leave for Colorado Springs. I said, well, that's a nice, how do you do? Come all the way in this forsaken country and you're going to leave. But listen, God really was in it and we were convinced that this was a move from him. And ever since then, it's really been exciting. God has given us some promises for the family. It's been rough times. But during this whole year, there was about 9 months from the transfer of my cows. There was another 9 months before I really moved to Wichita Falls, I might say. Yeah, before we moved to Wichita Falls, there was about a 9 months of just kind of an intern type thing where we had to move off the dairy. God really tested us. God really tested us and tried us in a unique way. And I wouldn't change that experience today for anything. Financially, every which way, because I was out of business now. And I had to go back to work. One fortunate thing I could lean on, when I was in a dairy business, I did all my own artificial insemination. And that kept me going for about 9 months in all the valley there, the neighborhood. I had my own tank, my own bull semen. I could keep plenty busy. And how the enemy tempted me for about 9 months, the fellow from the Minnesota Valley Breeders Association, he's John, I said, I've got just a job for you. You're not doing anything. Why don't you take the state of Arizona and set you up. Give you a car, you can do all the breeding you want, you get all the semen, you make good. No, it's not what we want to do. I had several offers from churches, little churches in Rainbow Valley. Why don't you take this pastor now? They need a pastor. Boy, how the enemy tried to sidetrack you. But we were waiting on the Lord until September. I said to my wife, we've got to get going to Wichita Falls because the schools are starting here already. We've got to move. Anyway, in the meantime, I had already gone to Wichita Falls and put a little deposit in a house. That's another complete story. It's just exciting. But it's really been exciting what the Lord's been doing, and it's been quite a transfer. But I really appreciate being with you all, and no question in my mind, this is where God wants us, and we're excited. Especially being in a community ministry, God is blessed, and we're seeing some young couples, sharp couples, come to Christ. We have the privilege of discipling them. Thank you.